Come on, let's pray. God, we just come to you now and we submit to you, God, wherever we are, Tailview, Bloberg, Melkbos, online. We have a desire to do your will. And even as we have this desire, we learn that we can submit. So we submit to you. We come under your authority. Even as we've done this, we have a great authority. So we use this authority we have now to resist the devil away from us. Us personally, our marriages, our children, our family, our businesses, from our destinies, from our hopes and our dreams. Even as we do this, we pray for protection around all these things. And in this space, we pray for your grace, your mercy, your favor. Give us wisdom. Give us an authority in Jesus' name, but most of all, an anointing from heaven to do all that you called us to do. I pray that we would one day get well done, good and faithful servant. Even though we are fragile and weak, we have this desire. Please, by your grace, let us never run out of oil. That there'd always be oil, your spirit in our life, that there'd always be a flame burning for you. So that when you come, the bridegroom comes, that our flames would be ready and burning for you in Jesus' name. And everyone believe it said? Amen. So good to have you guys with us. Just to let you know, we've had some technical difficulties on Facebook, but we're on YouTube, on Church Online. If you can help us, why don't you share our Facebook post so it just gets more traction. If you open up your device, go on Facebook, share it. People who share our services have a better chance of getting to heaven. As you get to heaven and they ask, did you share the service? And you say no, and they say, okay, you can't come in. Anyway, but rather share the service. It really helps us. And remember, you're the most blessed in the place. You're generous. So why don't you just be generous in this place and then open your life up. And so when you're blessed, when you're generous at work, you're blessed at work. And you're generous at home, you're blessed at home. Why don't you be generous at church? We're so excited to have our church family. And like Leanne said, Easter booking is open. And we've changed it up this year. I don't know if you guys remember the story in Luke 15 where it says, if a farmer loses one sheep, would he not leave the 99 in a field to go find the one? And we see that, and it's a picture of Jesus. And of course, right throughout Luke 15, we see lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, the prodigal son. And we get Jesus' heart that he's actually totally distracted by lost people. He's blessed by found and he loves us, but he's distracted by lost people. And that's why the church exists, not only for people who are in the building, but actually even more for people who are not yet in the building. So we've been speaking about that. We've been thinking about this. And we said Easter in this COVID season, the best way to do it is for us to do a once-off Easter experience that will happen on Friday and Sunday. We're going to put 19 services together, and you can come to one of them. We are set up, once they're full, to go to 25 services. But what our thinking is, and yes, for the traditional person, you're going to go, you're really messing with my rhythm. But for the lost person, it might be the first time we break into their rhythm of not being in the house. So we're going to break our rhythm to get into their rhythm. Hey, is that cool? And so what we're going to ask you to do, I'm going to do it at the end. We're going to ask you to write down a name on the God Can form right at the end, and you put it in the bucket. We're going to pray over that. But we're going to also ask you then this weekend to go and book your ticket, your seat for them and your friend. So if two people, you might be inviting two. But then you might say, I'm going to go do Easter on Friday or I'm going to do it on Sunday. Some of you might actually go Friday and Sunday and bring people across the board. You know what I mean? I'm going to bring some people on Friday. It's up to you. But we're excited. We're doing an Easter Bunny tour. We're doing Easter Bunny races outside of pre-primary schools. We're even going to do an Easter Bunny surfing competition in our surf group. It's going to be fun. You're going to see our Easter Bunny tour. You're going to see us tell people about the opportunity. It's going to be online. So we're going to help you make it easy to point your friends. But we are going, let's reach the lost at any cost. Let's understand that God's distracted and let's make the most, because we're going to be lifting up Jesus this Easter. And what better time to get our friends here, because even as we lift him up, all men and women are drawn unto him. So are you guys with us? Come on, are we going to stretch? We're going to be flexible. We're not going to be fragile. We're going to say, hey, we're going to do new things to reach new people. You want to reach new people? You need to do new things. So that's how we're going to do Easter. So book your seat, please. It will be up online, our social media, and you can do that. I'm actually sharing the service right now. I encourage you to share it. And I want to encourage you to just go on the journey with us. We're very excited. But we're starting our brand new series called Jesus. And for the next few weeks, the next 3 weeks up to Easter, we're going to be speaking about Jesus. And then, of course, on Easter weekend, we're going to be lifting up Jesus, celebrating not only that he paid the price for our sin, but that he rose again. And yeah, I'm so excited. I want to tell you everything that's happening that weekend, because we actually went to our location. We've actually looked at everything. We're talking, we're dreaming, we're praying loads. And I'm super excited for this Easter weekend. But we're kicking off the series today, and my theme is Jesus is human. Jesus was a human. So just heading Jesus, human. In Matthew 3:13 to 17, it's actually the account of Jesus being water baptized. And it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. Of course, if you look at it, Jesus would have walked about 100 kilometers to get there. And the question is, if Jesus walked 100 kilometers to get baptized, what's stopping us from getting baptized? You know what I mean? Even John tried to stop him. And a lot of the times we find something to stop us from being water baptized. If we save, that's our next step of obedience. But Jesus wouldn't be stopped. He got there, and John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Like, you know what I mean? What's up? This is the wrong way around. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son who I love, with whom I'm well pleased. And of course, theologians write, this is the only time in scripture you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one place. Of course, John was confused. He's saying, why are you doing this to me? Why are you asking me to do this to you? You should be doing this to me. And John understood it. But once you give your life to Jesus, supernaturally, you get baptized into the body of Christ. It's done by the Holy Spirit. And it's almost like the first baptism that happens. And that's when you receive Christ as Savior. And John's saying that the first baptism that happens, should happen in my life, is me being baptized by you. Supernaturally, it's more real, actually, than the physical one. It's me receiving you as my Savior. I'm doing the one that is less real. It's just a reflection of the real. It's a public statement of what happens when you give your life to Jesus. Jesus says, no, this is to fulfill righteousness. In a way, he's saying, I'm identifying with men and women. I came down to earth to identify. In a way, John's saying, I can't identify. Because baptism, in a way, is identification. When you and I get water baptized, we identify with the victory Christ has won. And we say it's already happened in us. It's happened privately, but I'm making it public. I get water baptized, and Jesus is saying, by me doing this, I'm actually showing everyone that my first role is identifying with man. Identifying that man has got sin. Identifying that man has got trouble. Identifying that you are human. And even as I identify with you, as I walk the earth, I'm going to take all of this to the cross, and I'm going to pay the price for your sin. And yes, I'm going to come out the grave, and because I do this, one day you will get to identify with me. You will receive me as your Savior, and then publicly you'll be water baptized and say, you see what I've just done? It's happened on the inside of me. The old is gone, and the new has come. In a way, baptism is identification. And Jesus was reminding John, this is still what's supposed to happen. Jesus identified with man so that one day man could identify with his victory. You got it? Jesus became human. Of course, once we identify with Christ, we declare our victory in him. And if you have already given your life to Jesus, I want to remind you, next week, Sunday, we're doing water baptism. And if you haven't been water baptized, I encourage you to take that step. You're going to see on our Facebook page and on our Instagram page, we've got a post up with the link if you want to be water baptized. Just go click that link. And then this coming Sunday at our 11:30 service, we'll do your water baptism service, or at our 10 o'clock service at Melkbos or Bloberg. But we will be baptizing people. I remember Leanne and I, we weren't together, but we were in Zambia. We were baptizing people in the Zambezi. All of a sudden, we were baptizing people, and then there was a crock down there. And we said, shh, I don't know if we can baptize anymore. And the pastor said, no, don't worry, we'll baptize up the stream. And he just walked 5 steps up. He says, no, we'll baptize here. My baptism was maybe one of the lowest levels. I just like did little water. Okay, just check it. One guy went into the deep, baptized the guy, came up with the crocodile. Don't worry, the crocodile was saved. And joking. Listen, if you die getting baptized, you're going straight to heaven. You know what I mean? That's fine. You know what I mean? Like we were saying, you know, we were putting posters up advertising Easter. We said, what if somebody's texting while they're driving? I said, I think they go straight to heaven because they were doing it off our board. And anyway, yeah. But I encourage you, if you haven't been water baptized, you are declaring what's happened in personally, internally. You're identifying with Christ. And it's actually your next step of obedience. Jesus did it to show that we need to do it. It doesn't save you, but it does declare that you're saved. You're going public with your faith. Why would you ever keep secret what God has done publicly for you? Why would you ever keep secret the victory that you've won in Christ? I encourage you to get baptized next week. We heat the water. It's like a jacuzzi. When I got baptized, they broke the ice. I went down there. The Titanic was there. I saw the board. There was space for Leonardo. Oh, it was awkward. Anyway, let's not get distracted. But Jesus identified with us as humans. There was an old type of priesthood. And in Hebrews 5, 1 to 2, it says, for every high priest taken from among men, so like you and I, men, is appointed for men in things pertaining to God. So they're taken from men, appointed to stand in the gap for men before God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So they went there with an animal and they stood before God and said, God, will you forgive us for our sins? This high priest can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. And so God set it up that there'd be a person chosen. They didn't choose themselves. God chose them. But because they were frail and weak, when they went in there, they were very aware of their weakness, so they had compassion on other people's weaknesses. They were never arrogant. That's how God never set up. God never set the church up to become this arrogant policing group. You know, Phil Pringle says so well, and we do with our leaders. He says, when we walk into rooms, we're doctors. We bring salvation. We bring healing. We don't bring policing. The church was never set up like that. We've got compassion for people because we never forget what we've been forgiven of. Forgiven people forgive people, like my wife taught last week. And so the high priest was very aware. He even had a rope around his leg because he was actually not only going after people, he was also going for his sin. And if he had sin, he died. The only way he got out of the Holy of Holies was he got dragged out by the rope. Hopefully they had a good rope, sailors not. But he got out. So it was a big thing. But now you and I have got the ultimate high priest. Previously, they had other human high priests. I don't know on the day. Like, imagine they had a good high priest. They were like you know, Saul used to be the high priest of the day. And then Saul's gone to be with the Lord. And now we got a new high priest. And we're like, this is not that good. I remember when Saul was here. Saul was just such a much better high priest. Those days are gone. I reckon there was some comparison between high priests. Come on, hey. This guy was good. But now we got the ultimate high priest. And in Hebrews 2 verse 4, he says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. And this is Jesus. So Jesus became flesh and blood. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. See, we needed a high priest not to go before us, before God, just on our behalf. We needed a high priest who was going to go to the devil to take him out so that he could bring us all before God forever. So he could take us into eternity. And that's what Jesus did. He became human, broke the power of death. Hebrews 2, 17 to 18 says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. And of course, we, his brethren, men and women, people, that he might be merciful and faithful. So when he became a human, and because he was a human, he was a merciful and faithful high priest. Always merciful, he's gentle with us, and always faithful. Always, there's no season you can't go to him.
The Bible even says when we're faithless, he is still faithful. This is the kind of high priest we have now. Of course, faithful high priest in the things pertain to God. To make propitiation for the sins of the people. And here's some more. For in that he himself suffered being tempted. So he's human. So he suffered. He was tempted because of these things. He's able to aid those who are tempted. Tailview, Malpas, Bloberg, online. If you've ever been tempted, please put your hand up. Just, let's real. Everyone put your hand up if you've been tempted. Jesus was also tempted. When you are tempted, you can go to Jesus and say, I've been tempted. And this is how I feel. Jesus said, I felt exactly the same way. I can aid you. I can help you. You don't have to hide what you're going through. I was tempted. I'll be there for you. So it's the good news. The Lord was tempted, and he's able to aid you. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness. The Bible even says, wherever we're weak, he's strong. He's not intimidated by our weakness. He doesn't want you to hide it. He wants you to bring it to him. He can empathize with it. But we know, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. So he was tempted in every, there's no temptation you face that Jesus hasn't faced. Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. I want you to see there, what's the throne called? It's a throne of grace, not judgment. Grace. Why? Because he is human. Because he was a human. If Jesus didn't become a human, that wouldn't be a throne of grace. But because Jesus became a human and went through everything you're going through, he's merciful, he's gentle, and we have a throne of grace. It's so important to understand the significance of Jesus coming down to earth. So we approach the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence. And when we go there, we receive mercy. And at this place, we always find grace. Come on, is there something you've done where you thought, I've just gone too far? I can never come back from this. I can never rebuild from this. That is lost. When you go to his throne, you will always find grace there. Because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Because we have an awesome Savior. Of course, and he helps us in our time of need. So you can receive mercy, you can receive grace. Mercy, it's not mercy that you deserve and grace you deserve. Mercy and grace that he wants to give because he's been through what you've been through. He understands. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Raise your hands. Tailview, Bloberg, Malpas, online. If you've ever had a need. He's your very present help in time of trouble. If you have a need, he wants to help you. He has been human. So what I want to quickly do is talk about three areas that Jesus experienced in life, being a human, that will hopefully help you understand that he wants to be there for you. The first thing is, Jesus understands relationships. You can write that down. People who take notes have a better chance of getting to heaven. Show up at heaven with your notebook and it's empty. Anyway, they're like, what are you doing? Yeah, anyway. Matthew 6 verse 3. Is this not the carpenter? the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? Of course, we don't know how many sisters, but let's say it's his sisters, so there's two or more. Simple understanding. Jesus had siblings. Four brothers and at least two sisters. I'll say that again. Jesus had brothers and sisters. He totally understands. If you had brothers and sisters, he understands. If you've had sibling rivalry, Jesus understands. I don't know how many disagreements they had in their family, but I can tell you one thing. Jesus was human, and he grew up in a human family. I don't know how many times his brothers and sisters heard, if you would just be more like Jesus, do you think it would have made him popular? Do you think he tricked them with the walking on water trick at the pond, and then they couldn't do it? I don't know. But Jesus was human. He was a little boy. He grew up in a house with brothers and sisters. Well, then you go, well, okay, he had brothers and sisters. He doesn't understand me. Well, Jesus understands what it's like to be single. He does. If you're single, Jesus understands. Well, then you might say, well, he does understand what it's like to be married. Well, the Bible does mention that Jesus has a wife. The Bible mentions it numerous times, that the church is known as the bride of Christ. Revelation 21 verse 9 says, come and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Side note, our relation with this church and us being faithful in this church, this is God's bride. You know, when I hear other people tell me about their church and what they use, and this guy, and I'm like, bro, that's cool, but that's God's bride. I can't go there. That's still God's bride. This is God's bride. We need to respect it. It's not a controlling statement or manipulating statement. That's just hopefully something that awakens a revelation inside of you. We are his bride. God has what? God even knows how it feels to have an unfaithful wife, unfaithful bride. You might say, well, Jesus doesn't understand how it is to have children. Well, Jesus is God, and we are God's. Jesus knows how it is to have difficult children. A lot of them. More difficult than our children. I've been a difficult child sometimes. He understands. So you can go to him with what you're going through. There's nothing you can't talk to God about. He understands. So why not talk to him today? Matthew 3, 31, 35 says, then his brothers and his mothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him, and a multitude was sitting around. And they said to him, of course, this is Jesus. He would have been in the temple, I think. They said, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brothers? Sounds like a typical family argument. He looked around in a circle at those who sat about him. He said, here are my mother and brothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. I reckon his mom would have been pretty upset. But let me give you context. Matthew 3 verse 21. Just prior to this incident, it says, when his family heard what was happening, because of course he was ministering now and doing the work of God, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. He's crazy. He's a Christian fruit loop. He used to do so well at our father's family carpentry business. Now he walks around talking about demons, and he thinks he's the Messiah. He's gone nuts. He's all gone all Christianese. I don't know, they would have maybe said he's gone all Rabbinese. I don't know. Who's ever been called nuts by their family members because they serve Jesus? Jesus would say, they also called me nuts. He gets it. You know, Jesus had close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were very close friends. And at one point, Lazarus dies. And Jesus only comes 4 days after he's died. And he shows up there. And the one sister says, the two sisters, two different personalities, as you see in the Bible. One of them says, if you'd been here, he would have been alive. We reckon the other sister said, if you'd been here, you would have been alive. Jesus knew the feeling of disappointing his closest friends. Judas was part of the inner circle for 3 years, the 12, and he sold Jesus over for money. Jesus knew the feeling of being betrayed by his closest friends. And when Jesus was beaten, taken away by soldiers to be put up for trial, Jesus experienced the feeling of his closest friends leaving him in his greatest time of need, of being all alone. When Jesus carried the weight of the sin on his shoulders, of the whole world on himself, even his Father had to look away because God couldn't look upon sin. Jesus had the feeling of when your Father walks away from you and you're all by yourself. Your beloved Father. He's had all those experiences. He is a merciful and sympathetic high priest. I don't know what you're going through, but he can empathize with you and he can help you. Can I have the worship team up? Second last thing, Jesus understands work. He was a carpenter. He was a worker. He was a good one. In those days, carpentry would have been connected to also building. In a way, he was a laborer. He was a builder. They didn't have power tools. You'd have to pick up stuff, hammering stuff for me. You know what I mean? If I'm going to hammer something in, I'd have to take pre-workout, plan the whole thing, take a whole couple of days just to get that nail in the wall because, you know what I mean? I've got Rianya, he just does it with one hit, looking away right through the wall. You know what I mean? Like for me, it'd take forever. Saul's just like looking down at me. I think we're the same, hey? We're the same strengths. Jesus would have been quite a strong dude. He worked. I reckon he even maybe spoke to his dad and says, should we name our business Emmanuel Labor? Ever present in a time of need? Or I don't know. Like he would have had father, son, labor. Anyway, like him and father, son. But I don't know. But he was part of his dad's business. He understood. Him and his dad ran the business. Jesus understood the feeling of owning his own business. Pressure. Jesus understood the feeling of dealing with people who are not in a relationship with God, cheating him and lying. Let's take it to another level. Jesus understood the feeling of being cheated and lied to by people who did serve God. Jesus understood the feeling of paying tax. In those days, there were tax collectors who were corrupt, even paying too much tax. Jesus experienced that. They say that most Jewish boys would have become men at 12. So most likely Jesus would have worked for his dad and in the business and been part of the business and then taken ownership between the ages of 12 and 30, 18 years. Jesus would have done more work than ministry. I want to be more like Jesus. Get a job. There's nothing you can't speak to him about. Jesus understands pain. He experienced emotional and physical pain. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected by men. That's emotional pain. Despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If you are feeling any of these emotions, he understands. Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, wounded and bruised. Physical pain, he understands it. He was despised, he was rejected, he was mocked because of his vocation. He was mocked because of his birth. It was illegitimate. He was seen as somebody conceived outside of wedlock. In those days, it was not accepted standards. They wouldn't even call him Joseph's son. They just said, "Are you Mary's son?" You know what else they would have called him, because he was Mary's son and no dad involved. He walked around with that. Maybe you've been mocked. Maybe things have been said about you. He was mocked because of his race. The Roman soldiers put a sign over his head, King of the Jews, mocking him. Come on, if you got God, come down. Boom, who punched you? Tell us, God. King of the Jews. Maybe you've been mocked because of your race. He got mocked publicly. They spat in his face. They mocked him just before he died. If you are God, come down from the cross. He experienced physical pain. He was beaten by three different groups of gods. First the Jewish gods, then Herod's gods, and then Pilate's gods. They beat him with fists. That's what the Bible accounts. They plucked and pulled his beard out of his face. Can you imagine your beard, if you've grown a beard, being totally pulled and plucked totally out of your face? Not just sort of, totally out of your face. They beat him with rods. They drove very large thorns, a crown of thorns, down into his head and then pushed it into his skull. They scourged Jesus. What does that mean? They took a cat of nine tails, leather tails, and it had the end of it had balls, and they put glass and bone and anything that would grip into skin, and they dip it in water. And in those days, if you're going to be crucified, you normally got lashed with 39 lashes, so probably 39 lashes. And they did it, and it gripped and it ripped. It gripped and it ripped his skin. They drove spikes through his hands and his feet. They nailed him to the cross until he died. Jesus was tortured to death. He understands pain. He understands your pain. My question is, when are you going to talk to God about your pain, your sadness, your grief, your anxiety, your loss, your worries, what you faced because of where you were brought up, the color of your skin, what this world has said to you, your surname in a way, like people grow up with. When are you going to talk to him about it? He's the ultimate high priest. We never have to worry about if we got the right man on the job. He's a faithful, merciful. And if you come to him, it's a throne of grace. And what do you find there? You find grace. Grace. In John 19, 26 to 27, when Jesus saw his mother there, and this is, of course, at the cross, and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." Of course, it's John. His brother. Jesus was the oldest son. He says to the other son, "Here is your son." He says to his mom, "Here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." He says to his brother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Mary was living in Jesus' home in a way, under Jesus' covering. And all of a sudden now he comes under the brother's covering. This would not have happened if Joseph was alive. Historical accounts show that Joseph died in Jesus' last year of ministry. Jesus could have raised him from the dead. I don't know why, what happened, but I do know this, that Jesus lost maybe his best friend. 12 years of working with his dad, building a business. The guy taught him everything about being a carpenter. That would have been a hectic time for Jesus. He understands the pain you feel when you lose someone you love. You can come to Him. Do you want to close your eyes? Don't we have an awesome high priest who's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf? He has faced so much so that He could help so much. He's taken on everything and He's conquered it so that He could comfort you no matter what you face. He's not only sorted out your salvation, He's ready to walk with you every day, no matter what you face. What will you say to Him today? Maybe, thank you, Jesus, for facing this. I can trust you with anything. If you're in this place, if Melkbos, Bloberg, online, and you need to receive Jesus. Maybe you've drifted from Him. Maybe for the first time, you need to ask Him to forgive you for your sin. I tried to get right with God, but I realized the only way is to receive His forgiveness. I couldn't earn it. I'd never be perfect. And I did that. And I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Him. Simple. You're praying a prayer saying, I need you, Jesus, that you, I confess you are the Son of God. I'm a sinner, I need you to forgive me. I thank you that you are a compassionate Savior, a compassionate High Priest. I receive your forgiveness. I run to your throne of grace. And what do I find there? Forgiveness and grace. If you need to receive forgiveness and grace this morning, either come back to God or for the first time give your life to Him. I'm going to count to three and I want to encourage you. Tell you, Melkbos, Bloberg, Melkbos, Dieter's there, Bloberg, Matt's there, I'm here, we're looking out for you. I'm going to count to three, put your hand up. One, God loves you so much. Two, today's the day of salvation. Three, pop your hand up if that's you. You need to make right with God or receive Him. Receive His forgiveness. If that's you, just pop your hand up. Awesome. Anyone else, just pop your hand up. Say, that's me. I need to come. I need to open up my life. Just pop it up quickly. Let me see it. Say, Andre, that's me. Lead me in my prayer. Awesome. Anyone else, pop your hand up. That's awesome. Online, you can even just tell us. You can direct message us or just tell us. I'm going to quickly pray and even if you didn't put your hand up, you need to pray this prayer. Let's pray. Let's make right with God online, in person. Here we go. Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the grave. Because of this confession and this belief, the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm changed. And I'll never be the same. Thank you for being my Savior, the ultimate High Priest. Amen. Come on, let's just thank Jesus in this place. I'm going to ask you quickly to grab your God cans. Under your chair, they've been sanitized. Yeah, that's right under your chair. It just says God can, and the pen's been sanitized. Can I ask everyone, Melkbos, Bloberg, Table View, if you can quickly do it online, you guys can actually do it. Just in your house, you can. So this says God can, and the whole thought is this: I can invite someone because God can save them. I always want to encourage you to throw what you can do into what God can do. Because God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can hope, dream, or imagine. But we almost have to throw what we can do into what God. It's like we're linking hands with God. And with Easter, with us making 19 services, Jesus' name 25, space for our friends. Because we're doing this, we want you to write out one or two or three or four names of friends you're going to invite, that you're going to book a seat for. All I'm going to do is ask you to write that name down. We're going to pray over this card, and then it's going to be thrown into our offering buckets as they come around. As a staff, we'll write down, we'll pray over their names. We'll be kept private. You don't have to put their number down, just their name. Who are you going to invite? This news is too good to keep a secret. This high priest is too good not to go public with him. So quickly, why don't you write that down? I already wrote down two names in the first service. So write that down, and then I'll ask the buckets, and then Malpo Selvi Bloberg, quickly do that. I'm going to pray. Let me quickly pray over the cults. God, I lift up every name that's written down now. I pray soften their hearts. I pray if they haven't seen you for who you are, that you take the scales off their eyes. And I pray, God, that you'd knock on the door of their hearts. And as you knock, that they'd open their door and they'd be drawn unto you. We pray, God, that they would join us over this Easter weekend. That's what we're trusting for. I pray you bless these people with a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can throw in the buckets. Remember, next week, Baptism Sunday, Tailview Blowbook, Malpo, sign up. There's a link on Facebook, also a link to sign up for Easter.